And welcome, welcome, welcome. And I want to say I am so excited we get to celebrate the most momentous occasion in all eternity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ together. And super excited about that. So if you're here and new, you've never been here before, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want to tell all of those who are watching online, including Sheila Curtis in Florida. Sheila, we're so glad you guys are on. Hey, I want to do a big shout out to everybody in the lobby. The lobby's packed. Would you guys let them know that we're excited they hung around? Let them know about that. Yeah, praise God. And the family room. And then I do have to say this. Man, praise God for all our team members who really did everything they could to get you seats. And man, praise God for our team members who work hard and do all of that. So, but I want to talk about this. The whole idea of our coming together is to meet God. We want you to meet God. If you've never met God, we want you to meet God. And if you meet God, once you meet God, we want you to spend times meeting with God, going deeper, getting to know him better, having him speak into your life. So we have communion afterwards for people to meet with God. We have a journal. If you haven't gotten one of these yet, I want to encourage you to get one. I wrote this so you can meet with God every single day. You can get it on Amazon.com or go to our church website, crossroadschurch.com/meetGod. Go to our app. But we'd love for you to order one of these and start meeting with God every day from now through June and maybe beyond and really experience God in an incredible way. Then, in all the kids who are here, we gave you one of these notes. How many kids are in the room right now? How many are under sixth grade? Yell, all the under sixth graders. Okay, good, good, good. Hopefully you got one of these note cards. And if you follow along my sermon and take notes, fill this in. By the way, my grandkids did this. They got every answer right. You can do it. Then you bring this back next week and turn it in. And we're going to give you, put you in a drawing for a special prize. But we want you to meet with God. See, everything's about that. Everything's about meeting the Lord. That's what Easter's about. A lot of people don't understand that. That's what Easter's all about. That's what God wants you to experience. So the whole thing we know on Easter is Jesus came and lived an incredible life. He died on the cross for our sins, and he did all of this so we could meet God. And you know what? I want to say this to you. Happy Easter, but here's what I want you to say back. He is risen. So are you ready? Happy Easter. Let's try it again. Happy Easter. And indeed, he is risen. Father, we know that you sent your only son to die on the cross for our sins, to go into a grave and to rise again that we might meet you and know you and experience life with you. And I pray right now, Lord, you're making your presence known to each of us. But God, for some people with special needs right now, deep pain, loneliness, emptiness, may they know how much they matter to you, and may this time together help them understand no one loves them more than you do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if I were to ask you to think about God and who God is, what would you think about? It's interesting. I just read a new study. 98% of the people in the world believe in God. 98% of the people in the world somehow believe in God. Most of them, though, do not live life with God. They don't experience God on a daily basis. They don't experience his presence, his guidance, his strength, his comfort, his blessings. Most don't do that. And you know what? I want you to know God wants to come near. The Bible even says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Then, something else to think about. A lot of people see God as mad at them. They see God as holding up the fist ready to come down and hit you. God is standing on a cloud, and you're this little peep. And God is on the cloud, and he says to the angels, come on, let's fry him. And that's how you see God. And you know what? God doesn't want that to be the case. My grandchildren are visiting, and so I walked up to them, and they had no clue I was going to do this. And I held this up, and I said, hey, guys, what does this mean to you? Do you know what they all three said? We're going to get a present. When they see Papa with a closed hand, that means there's something in there good. It doesn't mean bad. It doesn't mean I'm going to ever come down on them. That, to me, is a better picture of God, the biblical picture of God, the God who loves you more than you know. So I want to give you a picture of God right now, and I think this is a good one. There's a video that went viral. It's of one of our soldiers who's been serving in the Middle East. His family missed him terribly, and he's come home, but his son doesn't know he's come home. Watch this.
Keep your gloves up, Shiv. Keep your hands up. Come on, Shiv. Come on. Is that what you got?
Daddy?
Such a big boy when I was growing up. I am so proud of you. Wow. You still don't keep your guard up when you punch?
Don't you love that? And that is awesome. I think a lot of people have a blindfold on, and just like that little boy, he couldn't get it off fast enough to see his dad. Some people have a blindfold on, and they can't see God. They can't see God who loves you, God who wants to be your father. When it comes to Easter again, Jesus lived the most incredible life ever so we could see God. That's why he came and lived the way he did. Then he died on the cross so you could meet God. And we commemorate that on Good Friday. Then he went into the grave and rose from the dead so you could experience life with God as your Abba Father, your Papa. And so everything about Easter is pointing to a God who says, I want you to know me. And I want you to grab this. I think God's a lot like that dad. He wants to put his arms around you, and God wants to tell you things like, you matter. I love you. You're incredible. You're meant for so much, and I can see it in you. Believe it or not, some of you don't know that God wants to say, there's so many things I'm proud of in your life. So many things I'm proud of. That's God, and we want to get close to that God. And so I'm going to give you some Easter verses that you might not think are Easter verses. And here's the first one, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. So the first thing we have to understand is the idea of faith. Faith is having a loving trust in God. You have to trust God and trust his love. If not, you won't be in that relationship. And it says, but if you believe in him, if you trust him, then anyone who wants to come to him must believe two things. If you want to come to God, you got to believe two things. One, God exists. And the other is that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. That last part I want to key in on. You got to believe he exists, but you also need to believe. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wants to bless you. He wants to reward you. That's who God is. He's the blesser and rewarder. When he holds up his hand, you need to say, God, what's in it? Because you're about to open up things to me. You're about to bless me. You're about to show me things so my life could be amazing. By the way, Pam and I, we love each other, so we always try to bless each other. I look for ways to bless Pam. She looks for ways to bless me. We have two sons. We strategize on how to bless our sons. We have grandchildren that we love way more than our sons. And we're always thinking of ways to bless them. We always are. And that's just kind of what it means to love, is you want to bless others. You want to reward them. A little over a year ago, I hired a new assistant, Tracy. Pam and I picked her out, and Tracy's way overqualified for that job. She is just a leader, got huge leadership skills and very great insight. And so we hired her, and right away we fell in love with her. And we found out that Tracy loved coffee cups. So you know what we did? We not only got her a coffee cup, we got her a Groot coffee cup. That's like the best coffee cup ever, right? And then we found out she's like into Harry Potter, so we got her Harry Potter blanket. And then I discovered these things. Crossroads family, you know what this is, right? greatest umbrella ever made. For you who are new, look at this. See how it opens? It's called an inverted umbrella. Greatest umbrella ever made. And the reason is you get in the water, you go to get in your car and you do this and get inside. Your car doesn't get all wet. But when you go to get out, you put it this way and it goes up and you're able to, it's the greatest umbrella ever. So guess what we had to do? I couldn't have Tracy carrying a normal umbrella. There's no way. So we not only got her an umbrella, this is her umbrella, it's her favorite color. So we got her a coffee cup, got her a blanket, got her an umbrella, and now we're gonna get her a husband. That's the next thing. Her dad's here, we're gonna get her a husband, yeah. See, there's benefits for working for me. And so you think I'm kidding? No, I'm gonna get her a husband. So anyway, so here's the thing. God wants to bless you, by the way. God knows you better than you know you, and he wants to get you things. Now, I'm not kidding. Now, I'm not saying life's always easy. I'm telling you, God, though, loves to reward. God loves to bless. He says, you got to trust me in that. You got to believe in that. And God said, I want to do that for you. And so for you, he wants to do things that are just beyond imagination. And that's who God is. And so God's great desire is for you to experience that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to a very interesting Easter passage, again, an Easter passage, that takes place in history. So we're gonna go back way back in time, a long, long time ago, to a man named Abraham. Now, Abraham is so interesting to me. Abraham is valued, respected, and loved by Christians, by the Jewish people, and by Islam. Did you guys know that? Why do the three great religions of the world all respect Abraham? You're going to catch in part, especially why we as Christians do. And so what happened? Abraham's living in this town called Ur. It's called Ur. I don't know why it was called Ur. I think the city leaders were sitting around going, what do you want to call the town? And someone goes, Ur. They go, that's it. Okay, that's really funny. And you don't, Ur. Anyway, so their town's called Ur, but here's what you need to know. It's the most incredible city of its day. It has air conditioning. This is thousands of years ago. It has air conditioning. It has a sewage system, which has a version of indoor plumbing. It has theaters. It has sporting events. And Abraham, man, he's prospering in Ur. Abraham is a success in Ur. Abraham's getting wealthy in Ur. And he meets God. And it all changes for the better. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, it's his first encounter with God. Go. Stop there and look at that word go. Because God is a God who's going to tell you at times, very often, more often than you know, go. Go and I'll bless you. Go and experience my love. Go and discover purpose. And for Abram, it all starts with this word. And this is a key. I'm going to give you some keys to interacting with God. Go is big to you. So it says this for Abram. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. So he said, you got to go. You got to leave Ur. And here's what you need to know. He's going to a place he never knew existed. We call it the promised land. It's a place of blessing. So I want to have you listen. Okay, I'm going to ask you to answer. When God told Abraham to go, if Abraham did not go, would he get blessed? What's the answer? No. You know, and by the way, let me tell you this. Please don't miss it. When God tells you to go and you don't go, you're not going to where he wanted to bless you. See, God will always love you. His love is unconditional. His blessings are conditional on your obeying. You got to choose to obey. You got to choose to do that to get blessed. So that's what you need to understand. So Abraham, he does it. He's going to go. And God tells him what will happen. He said, go back one more verse. You guys, pop back. He said, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And catch this last part. And so you shall be a blessing. Here's another key. Crossroads family, you already know this. For new people, man, I cannot wait to tell you this. It's another key to living with God. When you get blessed by God, you're blessed to be a what? Oh, a lot of you know. It's true. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but you got to bless others. Here's the key. Please don't miss it. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. So when God blesses me, I need to bless others. When God blesses you, you need to bless others. And then Jesus says something interesting. When you bless someone else, you get blessed back. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to what? Receive. See, think about that. So I want you, I'm going to have you etch this in your mind. Ready? You're blessed to be a... Okay, we're going to do it together. Ready? You're blessed to be a... Yeah, you're blessed to be a blessing. And guess what? God wants to bless you. And then you become a blessing to others, which makes you more blessed. That's the key to living with God. And you need to know that. And Abraham, when God said go, he went. When God said bless, he blessed. Now, here's what it goes on to say in this passage. Verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And here's the Easter part. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, I am going to bless every single person in you. Now, ready for this? That's you. We're now taking this. This is where this passage goes from a long, long, long time ago to us today, to you today, to your family today, to your friends today. God said, I want you to know the blessing of Abraham's coming your way. This is an Easter verse. This is an Easter verse. But let's follow on the story just to get a little more before we get to it. So what happens is now Abram, he was told to go and he goes. And he's living in the promised land. And everything's pretty much going great. And he's being blessed. But one night he talks to God. He's sitting inside his house. He said, God, I'm 75 years old. And you bless me. But the biggest blessing of all, the one heart's desire I have most is I want a family. I want a family, and I don't have that. And God says, Abram, let's talk about that. I want to show you something. So in Genesis 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am your shield to you, and your reward shall be very great. Your reward shall be very great. God said, I'm going to be a great rewarder. I'm going to reward you and bless you. Why? Because Abraham, you believe that. You believe I'm someone who blesses. You believe I'm someone who rewards. God said, you trust that. You believe it. You know it to be true. And Abram knew it to be true. And God wanted him to experience that. And God's great desire is that he would know that. Why? Abraham knew something to be true of God. And here's what it is. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. When you do what Abram did, he delighted himself in God. He obeyed God. He loved God. When God said go, he went. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Abram, I hear your prayer. I'm gonna give you your heart's desire. By the way, for all the kids especially, God hears your prayers. For all of you, God hears your prayers. If you believe in him, if you sincerely seek him. There was a 10-year-old boy whose mother abandoned their family. The dad was already working long, hard hours. At 10 years of age, now he had to start taking care of his brothers and sisters. And it wasn't easy. That was a lot of responsibility for a 10-year-old, but he had to do it. And one night, this 10-year-old boy cried out to a God he didn't know all that well, and he said, God, why can't I have a family like everyone else? And God heard. And God started listening to the cry of a 10-year-old boy. It wouldn't be right away, but God moved and orchestrated things so his mom came home and she gave her life to Christ. She not only came home to be his mom, she came home to be a way better mother than she'd ever been, a way better wife than she'd ever been. And their life turned out to just be this incredible family. Then he ended up meeting Jennifer, who blew his mind, and they fell in love and got married, and then they had kids, and then they discovered how much God loved them and Jesus loved them, and they committed themselves to him. And they not only had children, they had grandchildren, and he's standing there today going, wow, I have a family better than any other family I know. And that man, by the way, is one of our elders, Joe Vargas, who God moved that way. Yeah. So all the kids in the room who are 10 years and younger, God hears your prayers. All the kids in the room who are 80 years and younger, God hears your prayers. By the way, to God, even the 90-year-olds are kids, all right? You who are 100, you just blow us away. I'm not putting you in the camp. All right, but God blesses. God blesses. Abraham knew God rewards. He knew God gives the desires of his heart. So God, he said, God, I want a family. So then God goes back to Abraham. Let's go back to that. And God says this, and he, God, took him outside. He goes, Abraham, come on, let's go outside together. And now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. Now, that's a pretty incredible verse. See, we know that Abraham was not living in Southern California. He would have walked outside and said, okay, 34 stars. What are you telling me, God? He's in a place like Joshua Tree. You ever been in Joshua Tree when the darkness of the night, you look and you can't count the stars. And Abraham's looking at more stars than he can count. And God said to him, so shall your descendants be. You look up, I'm going to give you more descendants than that. And then Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham said, God, you are a rewarder. I know you're a rewarder. I know you do that for me. And Abraham got it because he knew another verse to be true. And this is you. So I'm going from Abraham to you. Get ready, Psalm 16:11. It says, you will make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. This is for you. I hope you could look and go, God, you will make me know the path of life. God says, if you are ready, I'm going to tell you to go, but you're going to go on the path of life. I have a unique plan for you. I have a path for you to be on, a plan for you to follow, a life for you to live, and it's life, not death. And David said this, and you can say this, God, you're going to show me the path of life. Then when you go on the path of life, guess what you get? God's presence and fullness of joy. And then you find out in God's right hand is not a fist, is what? Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. God said, I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you. And so you need to know that's true. Now, not always life will be easy, but overall, you're going to find that. Let me show you a picture of what that looks like. See, God is saying to you and I, go on the path of life I have for you. So he's saying to you, go on the path of life, and there you'll find your purpose, and there you'll live in fullness of joy. And this describes very few people. Not because God's not offering it, not because God doesn't want it. People don't choose the path of life. When God says go, they don't go on it. And so they don't know their purpose and they don't find fullness of joy. They find some joy, but not a fullness of joy. See, they find some happiness, but not that overflowing happiness that comes from God. Why? Because they're on this path going downhill and it's called sin. Everything on this path is sin. Things you might not even know are sin, but they're sin because they keep you from life and they keep you from the fullness of joy. So guess what? And I want to tell you, as a pastor, and in my graduate studies in counseling, the majority of people are living a life without fullness of joy. They're living lives of anxiety, lives of emptiness, lives of despair, of fear, of worry, of anxiousness. And they're just getting by. And you know what? God doesn't want that for you. So let me be as honest as I can. There's help. If you have depression, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying, but there's help. If you got despair, there's help. If you feel like you've made a mess of everything, let me just tell you this. You can never make such a mess that God can't clean it up. Did you know that? God can get you right. And praise God for that. Yeah. He can. And by the way, this isn't being, I want to tell you, if you're new, I'm not judging you. I'm saying, come find out what I found out. That's not judgment. It says, come find out what we found out. That's who God is. And so God says, I don't want you down here where you just only have a little bit of joy. I want you to have fullness of joy, but you got to go on this path to get it. That's what God is saying. And his great desire is you go there. Now, by the way, some of you right now go, okay, I don't have despair. I'm not really afraid of anything. I just think there should be more. There's something missing. And you know who you might be like? Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey said this. Jim Carrey said, I hope everybody can get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of so they will know that it's not the answer. See, you might go, man, my life's pretty successful and I'm making good money and have a nice house, but you're not in the fullness of joy. You're not filled. And God said, that's not where I want you to be. Because I'm a God who rewards. I'm a God who blesses. I'm a God who gives purpose. I'm a God who gives life. So will you go on the path of life with me? And Abraham said yes. So what happened to Abraham? Let's look at this. This is Abraham's family tree. You have Abraham here, and he said, God, I want to have a child. And God said, okay, by Keturah, you're going to have 6 sons. By Sarah, you're going to have Isaac. By Hagar, you're going to have Ishmael. So you get all these children. Then, through Abraham, I'm going to give you Isaac as a son. I'm going to give you grandchildren and Jacob and Esau. Then, and Jacob, I'm going to give you 12 great-grandsons and one great-granddaughter. And you're going to, these are going to be part of your heritage, your legacy. And then through Judah and successive generations, I'm going to give you David. David is your great-great-great-great-grandson, and he's King David who killed Goliath, who's the greatest king who ever lived. And then through David, successive generations come, and he's the great-great-great-great-great-great, and by the way, great's the word, the great-grandfather of Jesus Christ. Jesus. How does it come back to Easter? He said, I'm going to bless all the families on earth, every person in the world, because through you is going to come Jesus, who's the Christ, the Messiah, who will live the most incredible life ever, die on the cross for our sins, and offer us the chance to know God as the Father. There's no greater blessing and reward than that. And Abram, it's all going to happen, and you're going to be a part of that. And that is Easter. That is what it's all about. Why? John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave. God's a giver. But the most important thing he ever gave is his only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life and be on that path of life and live life and experience life. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God has for you. So Jesus did it. He came and lived so we could see God. He died on the cross so we could meet God. He rose again so we could live life with God. Then he stood with his followers. By the way, all of us who are Christians, all of us who are believers, listen to this. And he told us to go. So while there's unique things to you, we all who are Christians share in this go moment. Matthew 28, Jesus said this. Jesus said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Every ethnic group is that idea. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go. If you're a Christian, he said, go get blessed. By going and telling people who do not know I love them, that I love them, by telling them that I want to free them from sin, put them on the path of life. All you believers, go do that. And when they say yes, I want to do that, what do you say to them? Then come and get baptized into Jesus. Come be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The word baptize means dip, submerge, or plunge. And this has everything to do with Easter. Baptism is a picture, it's a worship experience of the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus wanted us to all go and then to call people to be baptized, to go into the waters of baptism. And when you go into the waters of baptism, like in any of these pools or back there, then what happens is you go. And you tell the Lord, I want to be yours. And then we say, okay, be buried with Christ. The Bible says when you're baptized, you're buried with Christ. You go under the water. You're buried in water. And in there, you're buried with Jesus, very one-on-one. He is with you. And he says, you know what? The old you is not coming up. Your sins aren't coming up with you. Your shame is not coming up with you. Your guilt's not coming up with you. And then when you break forth from that water, you rise to walk in a new life. And all the old stuff's left behind. The sins left behind. The guilt's left behind. The shame's left behind. The hurt's left behind. And you get to stand brand new in Jesus Christ. And he says, now I'm going to show you the path to life. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is experiencing Jesus in that way. So when you go under, you become, it's an all-in, nothing left out experience. And you just go be with God. And so Jesus says to everybody, I want you to start the path of life by going into the waters of baptism. And here's the thing. You need to know you're doing it. You need to choose to do it because you're committing your life to him. And no one can choose that for you. You've got to make that choice. You've got to make that call. And so if you're a Christian and you've never been baptized, why not? Jesus said, go and be baptized. If you're not a Christian or you're thinking about giving your life to Christ or you're hurting, you're in pain, the first thing I'm going to tell you is Jesus loves you. So go under the waters of baptism and commit your life to him. So when Jesus told that to the believers to go do that, guess what happened? You know, a few days later, Peter's standing in front of a bigger crowd than this one. And he says, Jesus Christ is risen. And they're all like, shuddering because they saw him crucified. And he said, the tomb is empty. And you ready for this? Historically, we know not one person said he's in the tomb. No one. No one ever said he was in the tomb. His tomb was empty. He is risen. And he said, he's risen so you can know God, so you can meet God, so you can love God. And so they all say to Peter, what should we do? What should we do? Here's what Peter said, Acts 2:38. Repent, which means pray and commit your life to God. When I repent, when you repent, what I'm saying is, God, I want to give my life to you. I don't want to be on that path of sin anymore. I want to be on the path of life. I commit to being yours, and I commit to following you. You pray a prayer and tell him that, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, you get baptized because Jesus wants to forgive you all your sins. You get baptized because he wants to give you the Holy Spirit. So in a moment, I'm going to lead a prayer where you can repent, where you can commit your life to God, where you can say, I don't want to be on the road of sin anymore. I want to come and live a new life. I want to be a new person. I want to be filled with the fullness of joy. You pray that prayer. And then after you pray the prayer, I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And we're going to start worshiping God. And if you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to make your way to one aisle or the stairs. Come down here, get into one of these pools, or go back there and get in that pool. And we're going to baptize you. Now, somebody go, wait, what do you mean? When Peter said, repent and be baptized, 3,000 people in their clothes got in the water right away. Now catch that. Nothing held them back. Bam, they were right in the water in their clothes. So I'm saying you come in your clothes and you get right in that water and we're going to baptize you just like then. Why? Because you're not holding back and you just come and do that. And again, if you're a Christian, you've never done it, you need to do it. But today, if you want to really find Jesus and be on that path of life, come and do it. Come and be baptized. And you're going, but wait a minute, what if my shirt is see-through? And here's what I'm going to tell you. We have black shirts here that say you were made for more, and we'll give you one of these today. And you can take this home remembering your baptism. So you don't have to worry about your shirt. Some of you say, but what about a towel? We have towels. We have plenty of towels. See, we got you covered. Get it? We got you covered. So you could do that. Some of you are going, what about my belongings, my cell phone, my wallet? We have this bag, and we'll put all your important valuables in here. And you guys, we have a great prison ministry with people on parole that are new create. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, we'll take care of your valuables and make sure things are good. And then we have a car, a trash bag for your car seat. But the thing I want to tell you is, come. I had a lady one time tell me, but I just got my hair done. And I said, baptism's the great equalizer. We all go under and come up looking the same. Ball-headed, good hair. It's just all wet at that point, right? By the way, have you caught it? And I mean this joyously and seriously. Baptism is a great equalizer. We all need Jesus. We all get Jesus' love. Everybody's valuable. That's what baptism is all about. And we come and experience him. So in a moment, I want to lead that prayer and have you pray it with me. What would happen if you did? I can already tell you. If you do it, mean it. Man, God's going to love you. And that right hand, it's got great things for you. And then he wants you to go. Go to the waters of baptism and go on the path of life. He wants you to go. Right now, some of you need to go. Some of you in the lobby, you're watching. You need to come. Come in the building and get baptized. Some of you in the family room, you need to come in and get baptized. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for anyone who needs to open their heart to you and commit their life to you. It's a holy moment. A special moment for them. And I pray they can feel your love and presence. I pray they're ready to say yes to you. Some of the people who are here right now, they need to leave the old behind, which is what you want to do. They need to walk in new life. They need to experience you, not being far, but near. So close. And God, you have so much for them and you love them so much. Father, you love them so much. So I pray they're going to open their hearts to you now, commit their lives to you now. I pray for some people who are married to commit their marriages to you. And they're going to come and be baptized. Let's keep praying, but I want to tell you something. When you come and get baptized, you can get baptized as a couple. Right in these pools, you can get baptized as family, as friends. We had a mom or a dad get baptized with his daughter. So here's the thing. Keep praying. You can come. You could come. Father, I pray for some right now. I think that they know this is their time. And I pray they'll pray this prayer with me. Right now, if you're ready to say yes to the Lord, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross for me. And you died for my sin. And I pray that you're going to forgive me completely. I pray you're going to heal me from hurt and pain. I pray you're going to free me from anything that would hold me back or hold me down. And I pray most of all that you're going to make me yours. And you're going to put me on that path of life. And you're going to give me your love and fullness of joy. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer.